Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's conversation about Broadcom and VMware, where we're going to try to answer all of your questions, every one of them, about Broadcom and VMware and the changes that are happening and how it affects service providers and you as a client. With me today, I have our CEO, Brian Smith. I have our COO, John Rosenson. And we're going to kind of walk through where we see the program going and what changes we've seen and how we see Expedient being able to fit into the new space. So, John, kind of walk me through the new Expedient partnership that we have with Broadcom, because there was a bunch of changes that happened, and where do we fit into that program now?
Yeah, AJ, it's a very new program. We just became a pinnacle partner in Broadcom's Advantage program. So as you know, VMware's program was ended at the end of last year, and we became part of this new program that gives us new access that we didn't have under the prior program. Two key important elements of the new program are that we get the opportunity to be one of only 12 partners in the United States that has access to the highest levels of discounts that Broadcom offers. That allows us to extend the best price possible to our clients within our solutions. And it gives us access to the accounts that the VMware account managers are using and managing to provide our solutions to clients who weren't necessarily aware of service provider offerings in the past, which enable us to offer them managed services on top of the VCF or VMware Cloud Foundation software.
And that sort of partnership is very limited to obviously just the 12 you said, but I think overall that simplification of the number of partners, there was thousands before, it's much, much smaller now. Do we see that being something that clients start to turn to because their existing partnerships might be changing, or we fit in into better spaces with the VMware sellers?
Absolutely. It's a big differentiator for this short list of pinnacle partners like Expedient. We are well positioned inside the program to provide support to existing VMware clients who are looking for solutions to solve their cost and their operating models. Simplification is a great word. That's the word that Broadcom uses. So they've simplified the product offerings. They've moved from hundreds of SKUs to single-digit numbers of SKUs. That makes it a lot easier to understand what you're getting. That means you're getting more than you probably were using before. So how do you get value out of that? Well, you use a service provider like Expedient that can provide a solution that leverages all of that technology. And you can do it at a cost structure that's going to be the best available in the market.
And Brian mentioned the simplification of all the SKUs. How do we see that affecting existing VMware customers?
Sure. One of the big differences there is going to be the consumption of the different services that people can use, because previously they had to make lots of different decisions. And there were, you know, like John said, hundreds of SKUs, but thousands of individual components in there that you had to make decisions on what you were going to do and what you were going to leverage. And in this now, there's really the one VCF SKU that we have with the VMware Cloud Foundation, and then all of those components with a few different add-ons are in there. So you get that true cloud-like experience, and you're making one decision for what your hypervisor is, and then you have all those other components that are pre-engineered to work as one system.
And we've seen in the past, VMware has done the growth that they've had through a number of different acquisitions. NSX was Nicira. When they brought in some of the Carbon Black with security in the Horizon space, they had Desktone that they brought on for desktop as a service. So does this sort of change the way that Broadcom sees VMware growing?
It's really about their original goal was to have one unified experience in that cloud operating model for users. But each IT person really likes to build things. And right. So they would take their components, things that they knew, things that they were aware of, and plug them in with other VMware technologies to have their own version of a cloud. And you know, by tying this all together, that's really what VMware's vision was to start with. So by bundling everything together, it gives people one decision where they have access to everything. So now there's not a separate sale that you're doing inside your own business to say, well, I want to move from this networking technology to this other, and here's the implied cost. It's actually all tied together, and it's about how you get the best utilization of all the capabilities.
And John kind of alluded to that around getting the most value out of the platform. And I think that's really where we've seen and heard from clients and customers that there is a cost increase to this. Does it seem like it's just the old number was this and now the new number is this and it's a one-to-one thing, or is there really a value shift that's happening there?
Sure. Well, there's a couple different components that go with the cost change. You know, one of those is if you looked at all the previous services and bundled those together, the new cost is less than all of those individually. And not everybody was using all of those services.
Right.
The other piece was you were buying a perpetual license previously and then paying a service fee for maintenance each year thereafter. And this is changing to a subscription model, which really all software has been pivoting to. But then part of that is in the announcement from Broadcom and VMware is that they're increasing their R&D spend by $1 billion. So they're taking that additional investment to make that, you know, one unified experience and tying it all together.
And I think that kind of plays back into the individual businesses. For people who have not really seen the inside of VMware, they had individual business units. This was the networking and security business unit. This was the compute business unit. And they were all kind of not necessarily competing, but they were individualized. And sometimes you could tell that they didn't talk to one another. But now unifying it under this is one overall VCF platform, do we see that $1 billion effectively going to a simplified stack?
That's how they've described it, that they've taken away those different silos, that it's really about charging towards that one experience. And that's also why they really limited the Pinnacle program to such a small set, you know, because they look for providers not just based on the sheer quantity of VMware licensing, but also the consumption of the different technologies. Because their goal is for their clients is to if they go to Expedient or they go to another Pinnacle partner, that they would have a similar experience as far as what stack is being consumed, what technology is available, so that their sales teams are comfortable referring clients into that cloud operating model in that manner. So, our know-how inside the business is going to be a significant differentiator versus if a company had to build up knowledge on each of these individual components versus we're deploying that at scale.
And I think, John, to the sort of shift that we've seen, this isn't a new thing for us as Expedient. We've been building EEC or Enterprise Cloud off of this software-defined stack and helping clients optimize those costs. So how do we see clients coming on board to our platform, and how do we help them optimize in the new sort of model?
Sure. We've been a VMware partner since 2006, and Brian and I have been working together since before then, when we were managing Bare Metal. The opportunity for our clients is to take advantage of our scale and, as Brian said, our know-how. So we offer two forms of cloud. We offer a multi-tenant experience where clients share the expense and the cost of all of the components that make up that cloud platform, that VCF platform. We also offer private cloud. Now, there are different needs and desires from clients to have a private experience versus a shared experience, and some of those include needs for compliance and needs for performance, but we are able, because of our scale, to build the highest performance shared infrastructure possible, and as we say in our mission statement, we're a curator of enterprise technologies. So rather than an end user client having to have relationships with 10, 15, 20 vendors, they can have one relationship with Expedient, and we put all of those technologies together in a solution that serves the needs that they have based upon their workloads.
And I think that is something that a lot of organizations struggle with, of just vendor management. And I think this is also sort of the interesting part of, in a lot of, especially larger organizations, there's individual teams that manage things. This is the networking team, this is the storage team, this is the compute team. That simplifying this stack down, mm-hmm. Do you see organizations potentially simplifying and going to more of a simplified organizational stack to be able to take advantage of all of these together?
I guess, how are you envisioning that?
So instead of having a individual compute and storage and networking team, having a cloud team.
That's really been the goal, is people are trying to get to that cloud operating model so that they're not having all the silos of specialization, and they have people that are more focused, honestly, on their business and less on some of the technology. So it's, what are the things inside the technology stack that make an impact to your business? And the service provider takes care of all the things that are keeping the lights on and making sure that you have 100% availability.
And when they've shifted this bundle now to VCF, mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are clients who are saying, I don't need all of that. Is there another option? Is there other options other than just one big bundle?
So for service providers, you know, VCF is really the only bundle. For SMB businesses, for small and medium business, VMware does sell a VVF license that's less expensive, but they are making some choices in there. So some of the big things that they are choosing not to leverage, automation is one of the biggest. So if you did automation with VRA, you know, that's not available. Or if you're doing software-defined networking and micro-segmentation inside NSX, that's not available. And also support hours are become limited. So you know, you don't have the same 24/7 support that you would have and that you've used previously. So you know, it is really designed for the SMB business versus the VCF is for that mid-sized business to enterprise.
And I think that's, you know, those decision points are, I think it kind of funnels it down to, okay, do I need these certain components or do I need this certain level of support? When a client wants to come into Expedient, you know, they're seeing this big shift from their perpetual license to their subscription license. Does this open up any opportunities for them, John, to come over to us?
Absolutely. So as a Pinnacle partner, we have the ability to offer them flexible licensing to make that transition. And that opportunity allows them to move to a managed services model and get a relationship with us as a service provider that can solve a lot of their business challenges and get them the outcome they're looking for.
But does that allow them to bring their own license too?
In fact, it does. If they have an ELA, we will be able to work with them to use that until its end and allow them to transition in a manner that's more predictable for them from not only a cost perspective, but their operating model from a financial recognition perspective.
Also, from a timing perspective, if they have an ELA that's ending and they weren't able to do their full migration in that time, we could use our licensing back on their hardware as a Pinnacle partner to help with that transition. Because one of the things in that Pinnacle program is we have a committed license, just like an end user would, but we also have the ability to do a consumption-based license so that we could take additional licensing and put it on their hardware in a month-to-month fashion while they finish the transition. But that same type of burstable license enables us to do services like disaster recovery as a service, where you know, it becomes consumption-based licensing, just like we've always done on DR,
right.
You know, versus if they're doing DR internally, that's an expense that they would have 100% at all times.
And I think that's a huge cost shift for a lot of organizations, because if you're running your own disaster recovery, you've got that full license stack running all the time
right.
on a set of hardware that you hopefully never have to use. Mm-hmm. And now with a service provider like Expedient, we're able to say, okay, well, we have the ability for you to replicate over and fail over when you need to, but you don't get hit with the huge charge every single month. So I think that could be a huge cost savings for them, right?
Yeah, it can be a major cost mitigation factor right now, you know, because if they have their own licensing and they could continue licensing their production if they wanted to keep that in-house and do DR, build confidence in a service provider, and then you know, over time, they could leverage and move production as well.
So do we see that as being a large part of our guidance for clients who want to transition into a service provider, John?
Absolutely. For DRaaS especially, I think, given the cost changes that are happening with the bundles, we believe that the best option for clients for DR long-term, from a cost perspective, first and foremost with this change, but also from an operating model long-term with the consistency that VMware is looking to Pinnacle partners to provide the upgrades and patches and lifecycle management of the VCF stack.
Yeah, and I think that's where we really fit in is beyond just that, you know, here's the licensing shift and here's what's happened is, okay, now how do you go solve bigger problems?
Exactly.
Which is, I think, been a lot of what we've focused on and tried to help clients with over the last 20 odd years. How do we see that going forward with, you know, this new model where clients want to, you know, engage a better level of support with Expedient and being able to come on to us as a service provider?
So I'll answer that as I'm understanding you. Effectively, when clients use Expedient, they can focus on their applications
right.
and ensuring the best experience for their clients based on the features in their applications and the software that they're operating on the platform. Because we're freeing them up by doing all of the lifecycle management, like I mentioned before, but also providing them the latest technology in a manner or a cadence that's going to allow them to to manage their applications and the workloads in the best possible manner so that they're efficiently using the resources, they're getting the most value out of it, and frankly, the outcomes that their clients demand from them.
And is that does that help them figure out their future investments from there?
Yeah, I think there's a front end also, in addition to what John said, that you know, Expedient's always had a firm belief that if we give people easy access to high quality data, it gives them a better overall decision. You know, so you know, we have tooling that we can provide to clients on the front end to evaluate their current environment, identify risk points, identify areas where they may have more resource provision than they need, where pinch points are from a performance perspective, so that we can get them right size, which you know during an onboarding process can have a significant impact to the investment they're making, in addition to you know, the different DR components. And then we look at that same type of information from an ongoing day two management.
That's a really, really great point that they get with the know-how that our teams have. They really get a optimized experience for their entire stack.
And I think that plays into the amount of licensing that they're not paying for and eliminating that overhead. And I think that's something that a lot of clients who are running their own workloads on premises today have an amount of service, amount of resources that they are paying for that are just there for potential growth or failover. How do we as Expedient help eliminate that overhead?
Sure. There's a couple different pieces that, and that's part of the reason Broadcom's making the switch to that subscription model in a service provider that we can grow and scale as the need of our client changes so that we can add resources and grow into that. So in aggregate, we have a lot less overhead or unused capacity than if you look at 1,000 companies that are running inside the platform. If they were each running individually, they have all those redundant hosts that are sitting there. They have to make decisions of, you know, how much capacity am I going to need in 3 to 5 years? And they buy hardware all at once for that, and they're paying for that unused capacity along the way. Where, you know, a core part of our business is that capacity management and, you know, making sure that we're adding things in, licensing things appropriately so that, you know, we don't have extra waste in the system that you would have if you're running all those individual environments.
So we're effectively combining optimizing the overhead and eliminating that as much as possible on the front end for production, and then helping clients on the back end with DR when they need to fail over with not having to pay for that overall. So I think that could be massive on both sides to save, even when we see clients coming in with exceedingly large workloads, or even if they were pretty efficient to start with.
Yeah, you take that and then marry it with that we, not just from VMware, but from other companies, have the ability to buy licensing in a different manner than an enterprise can, and in many cases, in that consumption component.
And I think, how do we see that future changing with cloud services as VMware makes this transition? Do we see VMware maintaining a central role in that? Do we see some shifts happening as part of that because of all of the changes in client sentiment?
Well, I mean, clients have choice. So VMware software adds and offers a lot of value. And if cloud service providers meet the moment that Broadcom has set up, we believe that the shift will be that many more VMware clients will purchase and use VMware technology through service providers because it will give them the outcomes they're looking for, including operating model and including price.
Yeah, but we're fully aware that you know there's a lot of emotion that's involved right now, and because anytime there's change, there's initial emotional reaction, and then you have to step back and say what's the right decision, and then also understanding what's the cascading impact of that decision. And one of the reasons that VMware is a leader is the ecosystem of the other technologies that connect into it, and we also believe that you need to have choice. So, you know, we all offer alternate hypervisors as well and prioritize those based on also the total ecosystem that's available of technologies that I run. So we have both VMware and Nutanix-based environments that we offer to clients. But when you think about how does it change the sentiment over time, I don't know if you're thinking that it's a new, everything's going to be cloud first 2.0. And I think that we've already seen what that looks like. You know, so for 15 years, there was the trend that everything's going to end up in a hyperscale. And roughly 15 to 25%, depending on the company, ended up in hyperscale. And if you put the right applications there, it can be the absolute best location.
Right.
But what the landing point has been, and really everything from 2022 forward, has been put the right workload in the right place. And hybrid is the permanent. And VMware has over 90% market share for the hypervisor that's non-hyperscale. And so it's unlikely that that everyone's going to just instantly change that to a different technology because it has huge cascading impact.
Do we see ourselves fitting into helping that, leveraging potentially alternate hypervisors or bringing, you know, kind of both of them together as a solution overall for clients to help them optimize? Like, these are the workloads that I really think need to stay on VMware, but this is my, you know, maybe test dev workloads, or this is my, you know, tier two applications, and I don't feel like I need that VMware stack to support that. Do we see that as part of an optimization?
I don't know if I see it in kind of the way that you've described it. You know, I think that we absolutely have a role and a responsibility to help people make the decision on what workload should be in which place. And we already do that today in our assessment process, that, you know, what things fit well in Expedient, what things fit well in a hyperscale. And now there's that additional piece of which hypervisor, you know, things should run on. And we've even written some calculators to help people understand that they could predict what their cost likely would be from the licensing, and to give some additional clarity on that, and then show what that looks like in a service provider on a VMware, service provider on Nutanix. You know, so there's a lot of different decision points that go into that.
But I think that guidance is really where, John, you've mentioned this a number of times, the know-how of, okay, here's what we see. This is what we do. And I think this fits into our overall core competency. We're providing a service, whether that's the actual managed service that we run month to month, but that assessment and optimization service up front. Do we see the impact to clients being something that becomes that emotional decision, or that they decide to make a harder shift than they should, or that they really recognize? Do we see that kind of almost back to Brian's point of like cloud first, we're going all the way in on AWS. Whoops, that was a bad idea. We need to make changes there. Do we see that shift happening?
I'm sure there will be a continuum of decision making that we can model after we go through this process. And yes, there will probably be some organizations that make or try to make wholesale changes. But I think what we'll find, as we did with the cloud first strategy, is that it's hard. It's costly. It's time consuming. And sometimes when you make the move, you don't actually get a benefit from it.
Right.
You're just moving a problem, for example. So I think the answer is probably it will be different by organization, but with our guidance and our knowledge and know-how, as you said, we'll help customers through that process to show them data, to give them themes that we're seeing across all of the organizations that we're working with, and allow them to make the best decision for their workloads.
Yeah, I think what I expect is likely going to happen is people start to make the first decision. And the first decision is, okay, I'm thinking about using a different hypervisor. Then they realize the next decision, does my backup platform work with that? Does my networking work with that? Do my people understand that technology? And back to a lot of what people are trying to drive towards is simplification, so they can focus their people on the things that really affect their business. And that's where a service provider really comes into play, because they can make one decision of using a service provider where we take over the decisions for curating the technology stacks and delivering the availability, so they can really just focus on their application.
And I think that's something that a lot of organizations don't realize about the service provider space, is that when we talk about alternate hypervisors, it's not just here's where you run your workloads. It's we have our cloud data protection, we have our disaster recovery as a service, we have our monitoring tools. And they work across those hypervisors, so it's not necessarily something that you have to make decisions on and two different sets of tooling. We can bring all of it together to actually make that make sense. Do we see clients making the bigger decisions to jump to something like a hyperscaler off of that? Like, they want to move to,
sure,
okay, this is too much. I want to go to one single platform. Hey, here's Azure, or here's AWS. They do all the stuff that we're kind of talking about. Do we see that shift happening?
That's a pretty radical jump, to be honest, because you know, you think of the conversation of a journey that people talk about, like the cloud journey.
Right.
And I think of that as, you know, you're doing a physical travel journey, and you use different modes of transportation. You use a plane and a train and a boat. So those different modes of transportation have a function. and similar to different modes of cloud, of a hyperscale cloud versus an enterprise cloud like an Expedient or one of the other Pinnacle partners, those are have different purposes. And people have had 15 years really to decide which application fits best in which cloud. And so I don't know that I see that this doesn't really change where those land and what works better. If you're building something from scratch, that hyperscale, and you're using their specific tooling and you're fine being locked into that specific technology, you can get a lot of benefit. But if you're running those existing applications, those things that, that power your enterprise, you're not going to get a lot of value of just lifting and shifting that into a hyperscale, and likely it's going to be more expensive than the cost delta that you were thinking from your own VMware licensing, and for sure it's significantly more expensive than running on like an Expedient platform.
So we've heard a lot of emotion. Anytime we talk about Broadcom or VMware, you go to any webinar, just like this one, you'll hear a lot of people in the comments, in the chat, in the Q&A asking about, you know, my costs are going up by 3x or 5x. How is this affecting Expedient, and what are our clients seeing?
I think the emotion is reasonable. Anytime there's change, especially related to pricing, it drives a lot of emotion. We had the same response internally. There were a lot of conversations of what's the impact going to be, how are we going to address this, because we want to minimize the impact to clients. And as we went through and looked at what are the adjustments we could make in design, what are the adjustments that we can make in our process to make sure that we optimize everything for the client, we ended up having a couple different types of increases based on what type of service. So overall, the average clients had less than a 5% increase.
Wow.
So we were really happy with that. And for people that were on dedicated platforms, there's additional overhead because there's more redundant servers dedicated to just them than what somebody in our enterprise cloud platform has. So those clients were still in the 17% change, still significantly better than the ranges that you were talking about. And what we were really pleased with on our disaster recovery clients, no impact.
I think the final kind of thing to go through is what should our audience do?
Sure.
I think a lot of people came to this trying to get answers to the questions, but it really comes back to what do I do?
I'd say the top three would be one, know when your ELA is coming up with VMware.
You even have an ELA.
Correct. If you have that. Two would be leverage some of the calculators and just the discovery tooling that a service provider has that can give you better visibility, that can help forecast potential costs, identify risk points for you. And three, if you're running disaster recovery internally, it should be an absolute first thing you look to move into a service provider, because you can really avoid the cost of licensing from that platform.
And John, do you see, obviously we are seeing changes as well. Our clients, how do we see our clients moving forward, and what should they do?
Well, I'd add number four to that list that applies to everyone, which is start a conversation. And we're already having those conversations with our clients relative to the changes that have been announced and that are occurring. And we have clients that are coming to Expedient in the process now. We have clients who are evaluating all of their workloads. I think all four apply to our clients as well. And having that conversation early will prepare them for the milestones that are ahead for them in their journey.
Got it. And with that, we're going to go now to your live questions that you've been putting in. Thank you so much. And we'll turn it over to the Q&A section. Hello, everyone. I'm very excited to bring to you the live Q&A that we had promised last week. We had some technical difficulties. I deeply want to apologize for that, but we are here to answer your questions. During the registration process, we got a lot of questions. And to bring in my co-hosts here, I have Brian Smith, our CEO of Expedient, and I have John Rosenson, our COO of Expedient, here with us to answer your questions. You had a lot of them. So we broke them all down into some common themes that we saw. But if you have live questions or you have things that you want to add in, please feel free to do so. You can use the chat below to enter those questions, and we will get them answered. So, Brian, I want to start with you. We've seen a lot of, different changes, different reports of, amount of increases that we've seen. So how does Expedient ensure that the reported 2 to 5x increase that we've seen in VMware licensing costs don't adversely affect the pricing for Expedient customers?
Thanks, AJ. As you can imagine, this is probably the most common question that we've received for our own use, and also, you know, as we're talking to different clients out there. And you know, I think we have to zoom out a little bit and make sure that, you know, we define some of the different changes that have happened, and specifically in the cloud service provider world. So previously with VMware, they had about 4,500 different cloud service providers in aggregate. And in the new world with Broadcom, you know, they've really reduced that dramatically to globally about 500. And specifically, you know, there's the highest tier that are Pinnacle partners, and that's really what Expedient is. And Expedient is one of 12 Pinnacle partners in the US. So with that, you know, we have the highest level of discounts that are available. And, you know, that also leads to, you know, we have one of the biggest deployments that's out there. So we've had to make some significant pod changes in our design so that we could minimize the overall impact to clients. And specifically because of those changes, you know, we have three different types of cloud really we really do for clients. We do our enterprise cloud, which is our shared platforms. We have our private cloud that are dedicated per client. And then we really have our disaster recovery as a service platforms. So, you know, with the changes that we did, the average increase for our enterprise cloud clients, the most prevalent, is less than 5% compared to what you've heard in that 200 to 500% type of change. In the private cloud, the average is, you know, just about 17, between 14 to 17% in there. And on our disaster recovery service, we're really happy that there's actually zero price change. So we're able to keep all the services, not have that flow through because of some of the architecture changes that we made. But it definitely did require, you know, tens of millions of dollars of investment in capital, hardware, and actually additional teams and people to make some of the changes. So we're happy with, you know, the adjustments that we were able to make to minimize the overall impact. And then there's a lot of additional focus on the way that we think about capacity management, because before it was all done on the gigs of RAM that a client consumed, and now it's the number of cores that are available. So I think that, you know, we've made a lot of adjustments, and, you know, we've really gotten very close with, you know, the new changes and adjustments in the program. And because that pinnacle status, you know, we're able to minimize the overall impact for clients.
And I think that's kind of the key thing here, is that we've spent a lot of time overall that other clients have to go through as well. So this is also something that we've seen, and we've had a ton of experience now in terms of saying, this is what needs to happen. This is how we can move our workloads around, and being able to leverage that partnership, I think, is massive. So how does that play into our long-term strategy to mitigate any disruptions to our DR services and business continuity services and plans in light of these changes?
Sure. And in the service provider world, the DR piece is one of the most impacted, because previously, again, everything was based on consumed memory. So if the hardware wasn't in use by the client, there was no cost for licensing. And by the change of moving over to a per core that's available, you know, you're essentially licensing the entire stack of hardware. So if you didn't make any changes to your hardware stack, then you would actually essentially have the same cost for disaster recovery that you would have for production. And one of the things in the Pinnacle program, we can have a combination of things that are committed long-term licenses, like on a 3 to 5 year plan, but we can also have burstable licenses that are consumption along the way. So with that, we're able to leverage those licenses into our disaster recovery stack, so that we have a cost for licenses when clients fail over. So the same way that we had previously, nothing's really changed from that design. But also, you know, some clients are aware that if your service provider wasn't already using VMware's DR technology, the VCDA, then they can't add that in now. So because we were already using that technology along with Zerto and other platforms for replication and DR as a service, we're able to continue that for our existing clients, but also for new clients. So it gives us a lot of different flexibility, and fortunately, really happy that DR is one of the first places that clients often start with us. And it's probably been the number one place that people want to start a conversation right now, because things that they were doing with other service providers that aren't in some of those tiers won't have the option for that burstable licensing. You know, so that's been a very active conversation with Expedient.
And I think that also plays back into that original point you made about licensing, of that there was really no change to our DR clients. And that's huge, because I think one of the biggest challenges that we see is that core license comes up and becomes a, oh, hey, now I'm paying for licenses that I wasn't necessarily paying for before. So this is a way that we've helped to optimize costs because of that partnership. So as we kind of extend beyond VMware, what sort of alternative hypervisor supports like AHV or Citrix or Hyper-V are being evaluated by Expedient to provide those options beyond just what VMware offers?
Yeah, in out of over 100 questions that we got coming in, this was definitely in the top 25% when we think of it, the consolidation of everything. And I did an event last night where I hosted a lot of different senior IT leaders, and this was also a heavy topic conversation. So Expedient, in all of our different technology stacks, always has multiple different options, because we never want to be in a situation where all of our eggs are in one basket. So although we're one of VMware's largest service providers, we're one of the largest service providers on Nutanix as well. So when we think of the hypervisor technologies that are out there, the biggest thing that we really look at is that ecosystem, because you have to have those supporting technologies that go around it. And you also need to be able to operate at scale. And those are the two things that, so from our side, we end up being fairly hypervisor agnostic. And so based on your business need and where you're at, there's certain times that VMware is absolutely going to be the best fit. There's other times that Nutanix may be the best fit. So being able to work through and talk with clients to help guide them through what are those criteria, what are the things that they should think about, what's the impact when they make that decision on a hypervisor, what are the next 10 decisions you need to think about and make. That's, I think, the important way to think of it right now, because there's a quick knee-jerk reaction that there's a change. And it's just looking at the price change versus understanding part of the reason behind it as well. And part of the reason that VMware is making this change is similar to the way that the hyperscalers like an AWS and Azure sell their platforms. It's an entire ecosystem and it's a turnkey solution. And VMware is really trying to provide that turnkey cloud experience across their different platforms. So you're not having to pick and choose the different features that you want. All are available in that bundle that you have. So with that said, we're directly with Expedient, we're doing both Nutanix AHV, we're doing VMware. In the past, we've done Hyper-V, and we found that it didn't scale. When we looked to do the large-scale deployments, it didn't work at the level that we wanted. And we've evaluated some of the other platforms, but it comes back to the ecosystem, because we need to be able to integrate with our clients' other platforms, and those have been the best two that we found.
And I think it also comes into where it fits into the other services that we offer, right? Not, a lot of our clients don't come to us for one thing. They come to us for a number of different things. And so being able to say we support Citrix AHV Nutanix AHV and Microsoft Hyper-V, but not have anything around it means that the client still has to go figure all those things out. And so we've allowed them to switch hypervisors, but not really given them anything else to really stand on. And it doesn't really work for us as a service provider. We want to be able to help through the entire journey, not just in little bits and pieces.
Before you jump, I think that's really one of the values of a service provider is it reduces the total number of decisions that a client has to make through their journey. And because if you build everything yourself, you're deciding on the hypervisor, then you have to decide which backup platform, which network platform, which observability platform you're using, versus when you're using a service provider, you're really making a decision on focusing your employees' time on what's most strategic and unique to your business, and that you're looking to purchase uptime, essentially an SLA, and then the service provider is responsible for all the underlying pieces, like the changes we made in the platform to minimize the impact, as an example.
And I think that helps us to be able to prepare clients and customers for what comes next. And so how do we, help support customers who are evaluating or potentially transitioning to those alternative hypervisors and hyperconverged platforms? There's a lot that goes out there. Obviously, as we just mentioned, that we're dialing in on Nutanix and VMware and really focusing on those two. But kind of what comes in around those from an assessment and an evaluation standpoint?
Yeah, one of the core tenets and beliefs inside of Expedient is if we arm our clients with really high quality data and make it easy to get access to it, you know, without any expense, they can make the best decision for their business. So we've invested in a lot in tools that help can do discovery inside your business, understand, you know, what you have, you know, where opportunities are for right sizing. You know, is it something that should be in a shared infrastructure? Is it something that should be in a private infrastructure? How would it compare in our type of cloud versus a hyperscale? And mapping all those dependencies so that, you know, you can make good decisions early. But then also recently, you know, we've written a calculator that you could put in your environment, that, you know, our teams are able to put in what your environment looks like and give you a comparison of what you would expect your VMware licensing to be if you continued doing it all internal using VMware, what it would look like on a private cloud environment with Nutanix, what it would look like on a private cloud with VMware, or what it would look like in an enterprise cloud, a shared infrastructure inside of Expedient, so that you're really armed with good decision, good information, and it takes very little time to be able to go through all of that. So those are some of the big things that we're able to help arm people with information. But then it's also understanding what the cascading dependencies are when you make a decision. What's the next thing you need to think about, and the next thing, and the next thing, so that, you know, your chance of success right out of the gate is going to be really is going to be much higher. And then as that pinnacle service provider and having that burst licensing that we talked about, for clients that may be coming to the end of their ELA, but they know that they can't do a migration fast enough, they feel like they're really stuck in, you know, there's pressure being put on them. We're also able to take our licensing and put it on hardware they own inside their data center on premises and consume our licensing while they're doing a migration over to Expedient, so that we can take the pressure off and they're not having to make a new 3 or 5 year commitment for licensing they may not use long term. And DR is one of the best places for people to start in there, because if they can really eliminate that cost that they have on that licensing early, that gives them some breathing room and also dollars that they can apply back to areas that are going to be of greatest benefit to the business.
And I think that's, I think it's really key to kind of walk that all the way through. As a service provider, we're not just here for, hey, here's a service, you click a button and now you get VMs. It's making sure that the entire solution, the entire outcome is being reached and not just individual piecemeal services. And I think that's really a differentiator of ours against a number of other services that exist. And we really want to actually sit down and help you optimize all these things, because it in the end, it is the actual best outcome. John, I want to turn it over to you. Brian's answered a ton of questions. Thank you, Brian. But I want to turn it over to John. And really, as we start to see this change come on with Broadcom, you know, taking over VMware and all the licensing changes, it kind of leads to, well, what's the actual future direction? And where do we see their product development going? So what direction do we see them taking product development? And what are those implications for the current VMware users and services?
Yeah, thanks, AJ. In recent weeks, Broadcom has become more clear about what that future direction looks like. And I think the overarching theme is creating the most unified cloud experience possible, full stack, and having consistent integration and a comprehensive program that their partners like us could take advantage of to solve clients' problems with solutions. And I think previously, VMware, prior to the acquisition, was organized a lot differently than it is now under Broadcom, where they've harmonized a number of different business units that were sort of technology driven to be more solution and business outcome driven. So I think we're going to see more and better experiences of integration between their different software solutions. They've tremendously simplified the business model. So as Brian mentioned before, you know, they're switching to this per core subscription model from the RAM-based model of the past. And I think by doing that across the board, across their entire business, they're making the subscription license the only way to consume VMware going forward. So there's some benefits that come from that, even though that will create some initial confusion and potentially even challenges. Long-term, license portability for providers and partners like us become a significant driver of helping clients achieve the outcome they need to get to cloud by moving between constructs of how they might have their own hardware now and how they might want to consume it as a service and move their subscription from on-premises to the cloud. And then finally, we heard from them directly that they are taking a lot of the savings that they're getting from the simplification of the business and plowing that into research and development. So we have a lot of belief that by optimizing the platform, like Brian said, that we'll be able to do as sort of an expert in VMware's technology, will help our clients get the most value out of the solutions.
Yeah, and I think that's that sort of shift in that from perpetual to subscription. A lot of that also comes with clients who were just buying vSphere are now able to access vSAN and NSX and the ARIA suite, and there's a lot more available to them. So this is also where we can figure out ways to optimize their usage of their platform and optimize their usage of their licensing. So we think that's a big shift for a lot. And John, you know, how does this then restructuring of the VCPP program or the VMware Cloud Provider program, how does that really affect our cloud services offerings and kind of where do we see that going as well?
So first and foremost, it puts us in an exclusive group, like Brian said before, with only 12 Pinnacle partners in the United States. There are no more than 100 worldwide. And I think a key element there is that as a Pinnacle partner, we are among the few partners that get the highest level of discount from VMware. And along with that comes dedicated account management and a full complement of support so that we, again, as the experts driving this VMware cloud stack, can help our clients solve their most challenging infrastructure problems. It also changes the name of the program, actually, AJ, from VCP to VSCP, or VCSP, excuse me, a lot of acronyms, under the Broadcom Advantage program. And so we will have access to do a couple of other things, like you just said, including access to that full stack, where clients may have not necessarily taken full advantage of the NSX capabilities that give them micro-segmentation capability and other network features, or the cloud availability solution that Brian talked about before. It's sort of all in there now. Although there are add-ons for the VMware Cloud Foundation, there's a lot that's included, and that's where the value comes from. And then finally, as a Pinnacle partner, we are able to white label the VCF solution, which means we can provide turnkey solutions for other smaller cloud providers, but also help them with licensing solutions if they don't have another alternative. So it really gives us cloud providers a lot more to offer in the market.
And I think that's something that the Broadcom platform really dials in on, where they want clients to be. I think for the last probably 3 or 4 years with VMware, there's been kind of a, where can we go next? And I think Broadcom really layers it into, this is the way that it should be. This is the way that it should go. And I think for a lot of clients, there's a ton of value to get out of that that there wasn't necessarily there before. And I want to finish before I go back to Brian with, you know, where we see this change happening, where, you know, there's more now with this, the change to the bundles, what do we implement to then maintain that flexibility and the cost effectiveness in our offerings?
Yeah, and I'll remind our viewers that we've been providing a subscription VMware cloud platform in one way, shape, or form since 2006. So we have a lot of experience doing this. And I think a significant value of using Expedient or a service provider is the opportunity to take advantage of the efficiencies that we have built into our infrastructure. We offer private cloud for clients that need that level of dedicated infrastructure. We also offer shared or multi-tenant infrastructure. And this gives our clients a cost advantage in order to share some of those critical components of the overall infrastructure. I'm not just talking about the VMware licensing. And then we can add on to that our managed services on top of some of these VMware products that clients may not be able to take advantage of themselves because they don't have the expertise in-house. And we can either get them jump-started on that technology, or they can use our managed services to do that for them. And because of our Pinnacle discounting, we can really closely manage our capacity and ensure that we have the resources that the clients need, and they can take advantage of that full stack all the time. So the last thing I'll say is We have looked, as Brian mentioned earlier, at the designs of our points of delivery, our pods, as we call them, where we serve the clients from. And as a result of some straightforward design changes, frankly, over time, we'll be able to further optimize and pass those benefits on to our clients.
And I think that's really the key here, is that this is what we do. As a service provider, our job is curating and delivering technology. And for a lot of organizations, technology is what enables their business, but it's not what their business does. So leverage our experience as a service provider to actually get to the goal that you're looking for, the mm-hmm. outcome you're looking for, and not just, hey, we got to figure this out and I got to deal with these hosts, but I also have 50 other things I need to do. This just went to the top of the stack because of financial reasons, but this is a lot of churn and effort to just keep things going versus what we do as a service provider, which is to do this all day long, every single day. And Brian, I want to turn this kind of back to you and ask about our partners. We've talked a lot about clients and customers and what they're seeing, but we have a lot of other managed service provider partners that leverage us for their infrastructure. So how are they affected by this acquisition, and what changes do they need to anticipate in terms of service offerings and licensing?
Sure. The good news is there's very little change for them, because the same set of services, the VMware cloud, the Nutanix-based cloud, the public or the shared or private cloud, all of those are still the same, and the DR service offering is the same as well. The changes would be probably encouraging them to increase their utilization of some of the tooling that we make available, so that the same way that we work with clients directly and help understand what they have, what are areas for them to do optimization internally into our platforms and so on, making sure that they're getting a good use of those different components, so that they can help guide their clients and provide the most value.
And I think that's something key to really think about, is that there's a number of different layers to this. There's smaller providers who use other providers. And so this entire ecosystem has kind of been, I don't want to say thrown into turmoil, but there's a lot of decisions being made at a lot of different levels. And this is where, kind of being where we are in the service provider space, I'll say it right one time on this call, I promise. But as we are sitting in our position, it's really beneficial to us and also to our clients to be able to leverage that position. You can use that. It doesn't have to be we're here and others are over there. It's you can leverage this as well for yourselves. And John, as we're wrapping up here, how do we navigate this potential transition from these perpetual licenses to a subscription model? This is coming from the outside. This is not necessarily expedient, but how do we help enable, government educational clients who, really have tight budgets and they can't really move things around when they want to? They kind of have to wait for the bigger sort of capital years to happen.
Yeah, so there's a couple things here, AJ, and it's going to be different for every client, but essentially there's no difference between the types of clients. If a client currently has an ELA, to be clear, VMware is not going to be renewing ELAs going forward. They're not going to offer new ELAs. So everyone is being moved to subscription, again, regardless of what industry or sector you're a part of. So with the benefit of a service provider like Expedient having provided a subscription service for so long, we have tooling, as Brian put it before, to assess what people have and really understand what their needs are. Because our experience as a service provider is that sometimes clients could be over or under provisioned, depending upon their scenario. And there's actually opportunity to optimize their environment by making that move. So from navigating that transition, we have a couple of tools as a Pinnacle partner that we can use to allow them, for example, to continue running on their own hardware if their ELA expires, but also to provide a bridge to move them over with that subscription portability over to our cloud in a reasonably identified timeframe. It's not a forever thing. There has to be a finite period, but we have that flexibility and that partnership with Broadcom and VMware to enable that level of flexibility, so our clients, our mutual clients, don't experience any service interruption. But really, as it goes with the price increase, the efficiency that we have built into our business generally is offsetting a significant portion of the cost increase for our average client. So again, regardless of what sector or industry they're in, the experience is going to be relatively speaking the same. And I think that's the benefit of the simplification, is that everybody knows what to expect going forward.
And I think that's really the key thing to think about there, is really that simplification. And I want to wrap this up, because we have been out having these conversations with our clients. And I don't know if you guys want to bring up any of the specific ones. I know, John, you've had some conversations with our clients where, you know, what are they seeing and how are they reacting to this? I'm sure there's, you know, a very visceral emotion that comes through of, hey, what do we do here? How do we do this? What do we do now? But how are we hearing from them?
Yeah, you know, Brian mentioned this on our last discussion on this topic about the emotion. And, you know, going into some of these client conversations, we didn't know exactly what to expect, but we are all in this together. We're navigating this at the same time. One of the unique aspects of our business is that we have our own data centers across the country. And some of our clients who are not currently our cloud clients are actually talking to us about becoming a cloud client, because in essence, a lot of what they have in co-location with us is VMware. And because their ELAs are going to be expiring soon, they're trying to investigate their options. So we didn't necessarily know or think about how quickly that would happen, but we've already had many of those conversations, and that has led to some other interesting opportunities with those existing clients who will still need co-location with us, but who also want to explore a cloud transition. This is, again, to take a phrase from Brian, among the biggest change events that has occurred in the last decade in IT, that is creating urgency for people to make a change. And Brian, I know you've had some of these conversations as well. What would you add to that, if anything?
I think your final point there on the urgency is really the biggest. That's what's creating the emotion for a lot of people, is, you know, that they feel like they don't have enough time to make a good decision, to make the right decision. And so that's part of what the burst licensing gives them that breathing room. And, you know, also, they had been building hardware the same way, or building their environment the same way, expecting the licensing was going to be the same over time as well. So it's, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity to, you know, step back a little bit and say, okay, now with these new things being fact, you know, would I do the same thing? Would it look different? And so you can also use that as an opportunity to rethink it. And to your point on a lot of the colo clients, we've seen that exact thing, that, you know, they had been in the data center for an extended period of time, running their own environment. And a lot of companies run, you know, 30 to 50% load on their environment. So there's a lot of excess capacity, you know, and they buy hardware planning for the full lifespan. So, you know, 3, 5, 6 years of hardware life. And, you know, that now, when software is a bigger portion of the total cost than hardware, it makes you rethink some things. Having the ability to buy in a consumption model, you know, also, you know, changes the dynamic. So those have been a lot of the conversations, you know, we've been having.
Yeah, and that overhead piece is really big. I've run multiple environments where, yeah, you ran like 60% to 70% so that you could handle spikes and handle growth quickly when it happened. And then you would add resources later. Now that's a very expensive waiting period, right? So now getting a lot closer, getting a lot tighter on what the actual spend is, what the amount of resources you actually have, is really key. That's again, where a service provider can come in. I did it. And be able to have that very specific pay for what you're using model, instead of paying for all of the headroom you're going to need over the next however long, for the next 3 to 5 years as your hardware, you know, life cycle runs out. We do have some questions here from the chat. There were a number of comments on last week's webinar where we talked about this full stack, right? We talked about vSphere and vSAN, et cetera. For those shared pod customers, what do they have access to now that they didn't before? And I'll kind of take the first swing at this one. A lot of it is what you had access to already. And for the clients that were previously just vSphere clients on premises, they didn't have vSAN or NSX. Our enterprise cloud clients have been able to take advantage of those for a long time. And we've seen a ton of benefits of them being able to create their own networks and firewalls and firewall ruling that is all
baked into the platform itself instead of jumping around to a bunch of different platforms. So part of this is our ability to say, oh, that thing that you want to figure out how to get the most value of, we've been doing that for 5 years in our shared platform. We know all the ins and outs. We know exactly how to go do that. So I think the additional features that they will have access to is not a ton, to be honest, but from the clients who are coming from the private cloud space, from the colo space, from on-prem, this is a way for us to help them optimize and get that maximum value up because those features have been available. And John, Brian, I don't know if you want to add on to that one.
Go ahead, John.
I would just add, you know, with the combination of these business units consolidating, things like Tanzu, things like NSX, cloud availability, to your point, AJ, they probably weren't using them on premises. It will be included with the cloud service provider.
And then there's another question here. We have clients, this is from a partner. We have clients that are telling us that they have a 300 to 600% increase in costs. Can you provide a broad percentage cost of what it would look like going to a shared environment? And we kind of touched on that earlier of, you know, our clients' total cost increase was what, 5% in our shared environment?
Yeah.
So for us, they don't have this huge jump that 300 to 600% they were seeing before. And Brian or John, I'll know where you want to go from there.
I think you kind of hit it right on the head that, you know, both on the shared enterprise cloud, you know, it was a little less than 5% increase. And then on the DR side, which is also generally those shared enterprise cloud clients, was 0%. So we definitely had to make some significant investments to enable that, readjusting the hardware, putting a bunch of teams in place to re-architect it in the background for folks. If we had done nothing, the increases would have been 4 or 5x what they were.
But let's clarify, that's an average increase. You know, different clients are going to be experiencing different increases based upon the quantity that they're using and how they're using it. As Brian said, and I guess you did too, AJ, there's the shared versus the private, the dedicated. Mm-hmm. And we are providing our clients a full solution. And that full solution includes a lot of other services. So that increases based upon the solution itself. And typically the VMware is only a small portion of that whole solution.
And I think there's also the part there of, as part of that solution, there's also, we have people who are on staff 24/7 monitoring, watching the platform, handling growth, handling patching, handling maintenance. So I think that average cost growth though is really, averages are fun. You could have big outliers, you could have really small outliers, but the fact that it really averaged out to only about 5% in our shared environments is a true testament to the amount of efficiency we've driven out of the platform and really shown that, we can help you minimize those costs all the way through. Sure. John, Brian, do you have any final comments? We're going to wrap up here. I was looking to see if we had any other questions that would jump in there, but Brian or John, do you have any other final comments?
I think final comments for me would be probably a few. One, make sure you know when your ELA is expiring, so that you can have the appropriate amount of time to make the right decision. Definitely take advantage of the free tooling. We don't do any paid consulting, so we're happy to share information, give you access to the information so that you can do that. And often we'll save you a lot of time versus if you're trying to put it all together yourself. And the first place that you should really be looking at if you're trying to do cost savings would be have a conversation with a service provider related to your DR as a service, because you can have a massive change and it's something that you can implement incredibly quickly.
John, any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
I think everyone would do well to follow Brian's advice from before about having those conversations sooner rather than later, because I think there's a lot of opportunity, that urgency will help you plan for the future.
And I want to thank everyone for attending again. This has been really great. We actually got to extend our question and answer time from what we were going to do last week. So we actually got more questions in, more questions answered. I want to thank you all for joining and look forward. We are coming out with some more content around Broadcom. Reach out to us. You can hit this over this way. There it is. it's mirrored for me. You can scan this QR code to schedule a strategy session and really walk through, as Brian mentioned, those assessments of what does your environment look like? What could it look like? Here are the options that you have available to you. And this is really something that you can take advantage of from us at Expedient. I want to thank you all for joining us.